Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's good to see all of you here this morning. If you will, open your Bibles to John in chapter 14. It's good to fellowship with the saints of God, and so good to see so many faces here this morning, some of which we have not seen in a long time. Good to see you. What a blessing. We don't want to forget our brethren out in cyberspace. We do love you. We do miss you. Hope all of you can come next week for the parking lot meeting. I would like to see no more room to park in a parking lot. We'd have to park out here on the sides of the street, and all the neighbors come out and say, what's going on? And they rush down here and hear the gospel, and people get saved. Wouldn't that be a blessing?
Amen.
So you make an effort to come out. You pray about it. Try to come out. Let's fill the parking lot next week and see what the Lord will do. Amen. John in chapter 14 is my text. I'm going to read from the very first verse. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you read John in chapter 14, you might wish that we would read further, because that is an amazing chapter in the Bible, John chapter 14. But this morning I would like to focus on those first few verses. Specifically, I would like to draw out some things. Number one, I would like to point out that Jesus is one with the Father. That is, that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And maybe talk a little bit about the deity of Christ and the Trinity. Maybe not explain everything, because I can't explain it all. I can give you some scriptures and encourage you to believe them. Who can explain God? We're to believe God. God is. He always has been and always will be. So I'd like to point out some things to that matter, because it does have it does play a role in what we're going to be talking about this morning. Second of all, I'd like to notice that Jesus encouraged us. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And I'd like to take note that many hearts are troubled, and Jesus would encourage us not to be troubled, and the reason why. And then last, I would like to point out that Jesus did promise that he's coming again.
Thank you, Lord.
And I will give credit to Brother Bill. He's got me thinking on that a while back. He spoke about these things and mentioned that it's the coming of Christ, the day of Christ, the day of God. I think it was the last parking lot meeting, if I remember right, that just got my thinking about it. And it's sure enough, about every page you turn in the Bible, there it is again. He's coming again. And I'd like to mention how that has an effect on our lives and how it will help us fulfill what Jesus said in that first portion, let not your heart be troubled, because knowing that the Lord is coming again can relieve some anxieties that we may have in our heart. So let's look at these scriptures again. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, if Jesus Christ was not God, that would be a very arrogant statement for him to say that if you believe in God, you ought to believe in me. I think he's trying to point out that he is God himself. Look down in verse 10 and 13. As I mentioned, we might ought to read this whole chapter, and we may end up reading this whole chapter after all. He says in verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than those shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jump down in verse 28 in the same chapter. He says, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now here we have something very interesting. Jesus said that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. How is that possible? I mean, we could be in this room, but the room is not in us. You could be in somewhere, right? But if you're saying I'm in the Father and in, and the Father's in me, you're saying we are one. We're one. There's one God. Now, when we say there's one God, that is not to say that we should not recognize the distinctions between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because the Scriptures clearly tell us that there is a Father, there is a Son, and there is a Holy Spirit. This is not a doctrine that says there's three gods, because it says in the Scriptures, these three are one. In Hebrews in chapter 1, Thomas had a problem. He said, show us the Father. Christ in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, Christ being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had made by himself, purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ is the express image of God Almighty. He is, what does it say here in Hebrews again? What is the verbiage? He is the brightness of God's glory. He is the image, the express image of God's person. What a thing it is that God was manifest in the flesh. And Jesus said, if you don't believe my words, then believe the works that the Father does in me, is what Jesus said. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Look in John in chapter 10 and verse 28. I said 28, I meant 29. Father, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There's one God. And when you talk to Jesus Christ, you're talking to God. And when God spoke, and when Jesus spoke to the disciples, and he said, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me, he was saying, listen, I'm God, and I can settle and comfort your heart. You ought to believe me. Yeah? Look in John in chapter 1, verse 1. Great passage of Scripture. Very complicated, yet there it is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? With God, and the Word was God. And all the controversies about God and trying to explain God and trying to understand and comprehend and explain the Trinity, what I've noticed is there is a tendency amongst believers and unbelievers to gravitate to one side or the other. And I think it's unwise of us to put an overemphasis on one portion of the Scripture to the neglect of other portions of the Scripture. And I don't know if anybody's knocked on your door representing the Watchtower Society, and they would emphasize the very first part of this fragment of Scripture. The Word was with God. Yeah? So I can be with Robert. I can be with you all. But that doesn't mean I am your all. You understand that when we say we're with somebody, I'm with you, yeah? Doesn't mean I am you. So the Bible does say that the Word was with God. But in the very same verse of Scripture, it says, and the Word was God. And there is the complication. How can he be with God and be God at the same time? When you figure it out, let me know. But the Scripture says that he was with God. And the Scripture says the Father is greater than I. And yet at the same time it says that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, we do not neglect one portion of the Scripture in order to emphasize the other portion of Scripture. We take all of the Scripture and we say, yes, he is God. God is the Father, He is the Son, and He is the Holy Spirit. There is one God.
Amen.
1 John in chapter 5 and verse 7. There would be some that would take this out of the scriptures. I think that's a mistake. I think this is the very scriptures, the very words of God, and giving us a glimpse of the Trinity. Notice what it says. For there are three that bear record in heaven. Count them. One, two, three. Are there three? The Bible says there are three. There are three in heaven. There are three is what it says. There are three that bear record in heaven. Who are they? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There are three. And there would be those that would emphasize that to the ending, to the cows come in, I guess is the expression in some areas, right? To the cows come in. They would emphasize, no, there's three. And they would form somehow a doctrine that say there's three gods, or they would say Christ can't be a God Almighty. He has to be a lesser God. He has to be a created God because there's three. But notice what it says. We didn't end there. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
Amen.
Not three, one. There you go. The oneness of God and the three. When you figure it out, let me know. But that's what the Bible says. All right, the point of being is that Christ is God manifest in the flesh. The Bible says, for in Him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. And the Bible calls this as a mystery. That means we can't necessarily explain it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It just means it exists, but we can't explain it. It's a mystery. We don't have any explanation for it. Can you explain how God can always be? Because everything we see about us has a beginning. Yet God had no beginning. He is, I am. So I'm not here to explain God to you, but I am here to encourage you to believe God. And what Jesus was saying is, listen, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He's there to tell us He's got some comfort for us because He's God Almighty and He can trouble the sea. I mean, He can untrouble the seas. He can calm the seas. Thank you. I finally found that word in my brain there. He's the calming of the seas. Notice what it says. Let not your heart be troubled. And when I think about that word, the very first thing that popped into my mind was Martha. We, like Martha, are troubled about many things, aren't we? In this COVID pandemic, a lot of us have troubled hearts. The whole world has troubled hearts. The whole world has anxiety. You just get around, some people are wearing masks, some people put on gloves, some people hibernated in their homes, some people just stopped working. I mean, just there's troubling of hearts. We don't have an answer. The television tells us one thing one day, and then they tell us another thing the next day. And we're troubled about these things. We don't know, should I take the vaccine? Should I not take the vaccine? Should I wear a mask? Should I not wear a mask? Should I put on gloves? Should I not put on gloves? Should I go to work? Should I not go to work? Should I go to church? Should I not go to church? We're troubled about many things. And Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The scriptures admonish us many times. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians and chapter 13, and but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Weariness brings about a troubling of the heart many times. We're just worn out. And we just don't know what to do. And we're perplexed by our difficulties that we have. He says in Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sometimes the troubling of heart is the question that rises in our minds, is it worth it? I've worked all week. Saturday I had to do some things. Sunday morning comes, the alarm goes off, and you think, is it worth it? Do I really need to go to church? I mean, it would be really great if I could just sleep in. After all, it is my birthday. Leslie. I wasn't supposed to tell you that Leslie's birthday's today, so I'm not going to. Is it worth it? The world would clamor and say it's not worth it. And that's why they don't want to follow Christ. They hate Christ. They don't want anything to do with him. They would rather cover and hide in the darkness. They don't want to approach under the light because they're afraid the light will rebuke them. They don't want it. They don't think it's worth it. Let not your hearts be troubled. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says in this matter, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And this should tie in into what I'm talking about this morning in these scriptures here. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I will come again. The fact that he's coming again should have a calming effect on our hearts. Because we're troubled about many things. Not just COVID, we're troubled about the political situation of our nation. We're troubled about our health and the difficulties we have as we grow older. We're troubled about, you know, whether our children should go to school or should not go to school. We're troubled about our children being grown up in this type of generation where wickedness abounds and the love of many. It's just wickedness everywhere. These are troubling thoughts. And they take the peace and joy of God from our hearts because so much trouble in the world. And then just everyday troubles. Do you know that owning a house is troublesome? I want to go back to renting. It's amazing how many things a wife can find to do in a house. There's always something to do. Troubles. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Hallelujah! He's coming again. It's the refrain throughout Scripture. He said in this very chapter, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Did you know the Apostles' Creed? Now I know that we're not traditionalists in that sense of the word, but many, many Christian denominations. I grew up as a Lutheran. We repeated the Apostles' Creed. Some of you don't know that, so I brought it with me because I didn't remember it myself. I had to look it up again. But I would just like to read a portion of the Apostles' Creed. They have been, the Christians throughout history have been quoting this creed throughout history as a statement of their faith. Listen to what it says. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. In other words, for centuries and centuries to this day, there are Christians that will recite this Apostles' Creed every Sunday, or maybe every day in their creedal statements. Did you know that this creed is saying something to us? It says, from there, that is from heaven, he will come to judge the living and the dead. That creed being repeated amongst Christians over and over and over again tells us that Jesus is coming again. Did you know we gather here every Sunday night? We'd like to invite you back Sunday night. We have the Lord's Supper. Do you know why we have the Lord's Supper? In order to remember him. But did you know that every Lord's Supper, for as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show the Lord's death till he come. You say, why are you doing that? We're expecting him to come. And we want to remember him, and we don't want to forget that he's coming. And let me tell you, brethren, that when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, it is very easy to have a troubled heart. But when you get thinking about that the Lord is coming, it calms that troubledness. The anxiety that fills our hearts and minds seems to flee away. Let me give you an example, maybe two. One, I probably told you this before, but our son, Corey, a missionary in Poland, who many of you pray for and support, thank you in his behalf. He was a great fan of the Spurs. And I don't know if you know it, but San Antonio and Poland is 7 hours difference. And so if the Spurs were playing here in San Antonio at 7 o'clock at night, add 7 hours, we're talking about 2 o'clock in the morning over there in Poland. And my son would say about 6 o'clock in Poland, hey Dad, did you know the Spurs are playing tonight? I said, okay. He says, is he going to get up? Yeah, in the morning. No, they're playing live at 2 o'clock. Are you going to get up? You want to come over? We can watch it together. I said, I'd rather not. He says, no, come on. We can watch it. I said, well, there's going to be a rerun at 10. He says, yeah, but then it'll be over. I said, I like it when it's over. And you know what I found watching that rerun at 10? There was no anxiety. When I watched it with Corey live, and I did that out of compassion and love for my son, sacrificing, getting up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning to watch a basketball game of all things. And yes, we would have popcorn, made it worth it. So, sitting there watching that game, and boy, at one moment he's happy, and then the next moment he's depressed. And it ebbs and flows with the score of the game. His attitude is changing with just the scores going up and down. And the Spurs would fall behind by 20. And it's like, oh, it's over. And he's about having a heart attack. They're going to lose again. Oh, no. But watching at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know what? They're 20 behind. I said, it's all right. It's all right. It ain't over yet. I know the end. I know the end. You see, it has a calming effect. Doesn't matter if they're ahead by 20 or they're down by 20. I know the end. There's that message by, I think his name was Lockwood. He says, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. If you know Sunday's coming, you don't have to worry about Friday. You don't need to worry about what's going on Friday and all the difficulties and troubles because you know that Sunday's coming. Hey, if you know that the fever is going to pass away, you can endure the fever. If you know the trouble is going to be fixed, you don't have to worry about so much of trouble because you know it's going to be fixed. The plumber's coming. Don't worry about it. He's coming. Yeah, but there's water leaking. That's true, but the plumber's coming. He's going to fix it. It's going to be fixed. Did you know he's coming? It's almost on every page telling us, reminding us that he's coming. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Do you know it this morning? Can I read you some verses? In Luke in chapter 19, Jesus gave a command, he gave a command, occupy to what? Till I come. Stay busy till I come. James in chapter 5, getting ahead of Brian, I figured I'd jump the gun on him. In verse 7, he said, be patient therefore, brethren, unto what? unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Yeah, but the sun is beating down. It's all right. Harvest is coming. Yeah, but it's raining. It's all right. Harvest is coming. Yeah, but the worms. Yeah, I know, but harvest is coming. Yeah, but I've got troubles in my life. I don't know what to do. It's all right. Jesus is coming. Yeah, but I don't know. We're behind by 20. It's okay. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You'll be all right. Just hang in there. Let not your heart be troubled. He's coming. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. I will come. Can God lie? He cannot lie. His promise is sure. He's coming. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. From hence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working there whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know what? We're going to get a new body one day. Some of you are telling about your aches and pains and groans and all these problems you got. Yeah, a lot of troubling things, but one day, that day's drawing near. We're supposed to watch till he comes. How many military men have we here this morning? Some of you will know when I say general inspection. This very important inspection is coming. I can remember out here at Kelly Air Force Base when I was a younger man in the Air Force. I can remember we had anxiety. Why? Because the brass is coming. Yeah? The brass is coming, and everybody's watching out. Are they here yet? Are they here yet? We're getting everything. Is everything ready? We just don't know when they're going to drop in. But you know what we did when they did drop in? They might have caught that first guy off guard, but they didn't catch the rest of the crew off guard. Because now we had a system, or you couldn't get on a radio and say, hey, they're here. Because then obviously they would hear that, but we would click our radios. Click, 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 click. And we hear that clicking knowing they're here. They're here. Yeah, they're here. You could forget about it. You could get lost in your dreams or whatever and forget about, you know, the brass is coming. But when you heard that click, click, boy, you straighten up right because they're here. Did you know what? Click, click. He's coming. Amen. Click, click. He's coming. He's coming. Are you ready? In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, amen, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. He's coming. And you know what? When he comes, what a day that is going to be. When that day comes, all those troubles are going to seem as nothing. And you know what? He's coming with a reward in his hand. And there's a song we sing, it will be worth it all. I'm not going to sing it for you, but it will be worth it all. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Where he takes the man to the inn and he gives the innkeeper 2 pence. And he says to the host of the innkeeper, he says unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Not only does he give us grace, thank you, Brian, he gives us an abundance of grace and mercy. He saves our souls. He tells us to occupy till he comes. And then when he comes back, he's going to reward us for doing it. Amen. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. That and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Do you know on that day, there's going to be a day when the Father himself is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then we're going to worry about all them troubles. We're just going to be happy that we're there in the presence of God and he's rewarding us. What a blessing. Amen.
Romans in chapter 8 and verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, this is a promise, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What a blessing to think that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's worth reading this, and verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we believe that?
Yes.
I believe that he died. I also believe that he rose again. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto what? The coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Lord, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What words? That he's coming again. And brethren, one day, there's going to be a trump of God. I don't know how it's going to go. Or whatever. I don't know exactly how it's going to go. But it's going to be a big trump. And we're going to hear the sound, come up hither. And you know what's going to happen? Out here at Sam Houston Cemetery, there's going to be a rumbling on the ground, and there's going to be some people coming out of the ground. I think I see some De Los Santos coming out of the ground over there. Or out there in Mission Park, there's going to be some rumbling, because they heard the voice, come up hither, and up they go. And you know what else? Some of us are going to be walking along, just like, well, maybe walking along. I don't know how we're going to walk, but we're going to be walking along, maybe driving our cars, and we're going to hear that trump, and all of a sudden the voice of God, it says, come up hither. And somebody been clicking on that, he's coming, and the radio is clicking, and up we go. Can you imagine that day? You ought to be thinking about it, because it's on every page of Scripture. Will he come? When you recite the creed, he's coming again. What a day that's going to be. Oh, can you imagine? He says we're going to meet together with them. Isn't that what it said? Caught up together with them. I can see it in my mind's eye. Why, there's Brother Al Schreiner. And there's Myra Schreiner. He said with them, there's I can see it now. Well, my, what, Mrs. Newman. Did you get that, Laura? Did you get that, Danny? Did you get that, Johnny? There's Mrs. Newman. She's come up out of the ground. There she is with our Lord and Savior. There she is. There's Mrs. Newman. Linda, did you realize? There's Verlene. There she is. There she is. Can you see her? Dale and Nelda. Oh, Dale's still with his fork. There he is. Yes, sirree. There he is. Bill, there's Cindy. There's that young child. There's Mr. and Mrs. De Los Santos. There they are, spry as ever. There's Alyssa. There she is. And she's walking. And she's talking. She's still got that tongue thing going. I don't know what, but you know, she's still doing that. But there she is. There she is. There's Grandma Sprague. There she is. My. There's Al and Ginger Riggs. Wow. We're going to meet together with them. One day we're going to hear a voice. Come up.
hither, and boom, there they are. And there I see it right now. Wow, it's glistening. It's white as the sun. It's white. It's whiter than any fuller could do. It's white. And I'm bowing down, brother. I'm bowing down. And the brother comes up and he says, stand and arise. I'm a brother. Worship God. So who are you? I'm just a brother with the prophets. And I look about, and guess who I see? Hey, there's Abel. And there's Enoch. And there's Noah. There's old Noah. Noah, I want to have a talk with you. I want to talk about how'd that boat work out with you. And that worked out pretty good with you. There's Noah. Hey, there's Father Abraham. Hey, there's Isaac and Jacob. There's Joseph. Wow, there's Joshua and Samson. So there's Samson. There's Samuel. Oh, there's David. Oh, David. Oh, the blessed psalmist. There he is. And there's Solomon, Elijah, and Daniel. And there's Isaiah. Why, there's Peter, James, and John. There they are. Look at them. Wow, what a blessing. What fellowship it's going to be. There's Paul the apostle. Wow, what a group. We're going to hear that sound one day when it says, come up hither. We're going to be with the Lord. Amen. And then I hear the trotting of horse on gold streets. I can hear the hoofs coming. And brethren, I look up and it's glistening like the sun. It's white as light I've never seen before. And you know what? I realize who it is. It's my Savior. Down I go. He's worthy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. He ain't pulling me up. I done broke it. But we're going to be with the Lord. And then we're not going to worry about politicians. We're not going to worry about COVID. We're not going to worry about the Chinese or the Russians or the Americans. There are brothers in other countries worried about the Americans. We're not going to worry about those things. We're not going to worry about that old Ford. Or Chevy, or Honda. We're not going to worry about the pipes, or the lawn, or the dishes, or the bed being made. We're not going to be troubled by these things anymore, because we're going to be in His presence. I'd like to conclude this message this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Thank God for that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. And he said in the last chapter, behold, I come quickly. Are you ready? Do you hear the clicking of the radio? Click, click, click. He's a coming. Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.